Welcome to Benefits Update. This is Natalie Choate. It may or may not be a good deal to convert your traditional IRA to a Roth IRA if you have to pay a substantial income tax to accomplish that. But everyone agrees that if you can convert a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA tax-free, that is a good deal. So let's look at how you can do that. When you move money from a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA, that's called a conversion, and the conversion is taxed to you as if the amount you converted had actually been distributed to you from the original plan rather than being rolled over to a new plan. Well, since most IRA distributions are fully taxable as ordinary income, the price tag for converting a big chunk of IRA money to Roth IRA status can obviously be very high. Unless the client is in an unusually low tax bracket or has some unique losses that shelter his income, he's normally going to get socked with taxes of up to 35% of the amount of the Roth conversion. The exception is when the money that is converted is after-tax money. When there's after-tax money inside a traditional IRA, your Roth conversion is going to be tax-free to the extent it's attributable to that after-tax money. So let's figure out how after-tax money gets into an IRA in the first place, how the client is taxed when he converts an IRA that includes both after-tax and pre-tax money, and finally, how to isolate the after-tax money so that your entire conversion can be tax-free. So first, how does after-tax money get into an IRA? The most common way is by making annual non-deductible IRA contributions. Any individual who has compensation income and who's younger than age 70 and a half can make an IRA contribution annually up to a certain dollar maximum amount. That maximum is $5,000 for 2008, for example, plus an additional $1,000, bringing it up to $6,000 maximum, if the individual is age 50 or older. These annual IRA contributions are generally deductible for income tax purposes, but they're not deductible if the individual is a participant in an employer-sponsored retirement plan also, and if he or she is high income. So for most of our high-income clients, if they contribute anything to an IRA each year, it's typically non-deductible. The cumulative total of after-tax non-deductible contributions represents the individual's basis in the IRA. Non-deductible IRA contributions were permitted beginning in 1987, and the dollar limit has changed over the years. So the absolute maximum dollar amount of IRA basis an individual could have arising from these non-deductible contributions would be, as of 2008, $61,000. That's how much after-tax money she has in her IRA if she contributed the maximum non-deductible contribution every year from 1987 through 2008 and was age 50 or older in 2002, and she hasn't taken any distributions. So as you can see, with $61,000 being the absolute maximum, there's not huge dollars involved in these so-called tax-free Roth IRA conversions if the basis or after-tax money in the account is based solely on annual non-deductible contributions. Now remember, a very small number of clients could actually have additional sources of after-tax money inside an IRA. That would be someone who rolled over after-tax money from a qualified plan into the traditional IRA. And that type of rollover has been permitted since 2002, so you will encounter a very small number of clients who have after-tax money in their IRA that does not come from annual contributions of non-deductible nature. How do you find out how much after-tax money your client has in his IRA? To do that, you need to see the client's most recent Form 8606. Form 8606 must be attached to the individual's income tax return every year that he or she made a non-deductible contribution to the IRA, and or if a distribution was taken from an IRA that holds after-tax money. So don't guess or speculate or take the client's word for it on how much after-tax money is in the IRA. Require the client to give you his most recent Form 8606. By the way, if he hasn't filed that form, he may lose his rights to claim the after-tax contributions, so you better find the form. Well, let's say our client is Sally. She's 63 years old, and she has a $1 million traditional IRA, of which $61,000 is after-tax money. And she has no other IRAs? Assume she is eligible to convert to a Roth. She converts 10% of her traditional IRA, or $100,000, to a Roth IRA in 2008. On her income tax return for 2008, that will be reported as if she received a distribution of $100,000 from her traditional IRA. Well, of that $100,000 deemed distribution, how much of that $100,000 is a return of her own after-tax money of $61,000? Sally would like to say that the first money that comes out should be her own after-tax contributions. But that's not how it works. Any IRA distribution, including the deemed distribution that results from a Roth conversion, includes proportionate amounts of the pre- and after-tax money in the account. Now, Sally's $61,000 basis in her IRA, that's just 6.1% of the total value of $1 million. So any distribution is going to be only 6.1% tax-free return of basis, and the other 93.9% is going to be taxable. With her proposed conversion of $100,000, only $6,100 would be tax-free, and she'd have to pay tax on the other $93,900. Ed Slott, the famous public television IRA guru, calls this the cream in the coffee rule. Your after-tax money is the cream, the pre-tax money is the coffee. Every time you take a sip or distribution, you're getting proportionate amounts of each. Could Sally have avoided that result? By keeping her annual non-deductible contributions in a separate and distinct IRA, separate from, let's say, a rollover IRA funded with pre-tax money from an old employer plan she was in? Absolutely not. That does not work. Because in determining what proportion of any IRA distribution is tax-free, the code does not look just at the particular IRA the client is taking the money out of. No, no, no. All of the client's IRAs are treated as one giant IRA for this purpose. So keeping your rollover and your contributory IRAs segregated does absolutely no good for this purpose. Now Sally gets very firm here. That's no good, she says. I want a Roth IRA, but I only want to convert the after-tax money. Is there any way I can do that? There's only one way I know of that she can do that, and it's based on an exception to the cream-in-the-coffee rule. If Sally is a participant in an employer plan that accepts rollovers, she can roll the pre-tax money out of the IRA and into the employer plan. That leaves her with a stub IRA that is 100% after-tax money. She converts the stub IRA to a Roth, and since the stub IRA is all after-tax money, the conversion is tax-free. Is this a gimmick or a loophole? Well, not really. Sally is not avoiding any taxes. She's already paid tax on the income that she used to make those non-deductible contributions. That's the only reason that they are quote-unquote tax-free when she converts them to a Roth IRA. Here's why the technique works. The code does allow rollovers generally from an IRA to a qualified plan, but for some reason, and don't call me up and ask me why, because I have no idea, the code does not allow after-tax money to be rolled upstream from an IRA to a qualified plan. Therefore, to accommodate that, the code had to put in an exception to the cream in the coffee rule. And the exception says, whenever you roll money from an IRA to a qualified plan, that particular rollover is deemed to come out of the pre-tax money first. That's what enables Sally to strip out the pre-tax money by rolling it to a 401k plan. So any client who wants to do a tax-free Roth IRA conversion of the after-tax money in their traditional IRA needs to move most or all of the pre-tax money out of the traditional IRA and into a qualified plan? Well, obviously, not very many clients are going to be able to do this. Most clients don't have any after-tax money in their IRA, and those who do may not be in a qualified plan that accepts rollovers. So this is not anything that helps the typical average client, but for the few clients that it does help, it's a very big help and a very good tax planning idea. For Morningstar Advisor, this is Natalie Choate.